Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing Media Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And today we are going to be talking about something that I really love to talk about. It has actually probably been the bane of my existence in my own business. And I am sure some of you out there are probably struggling with it too. And it's more important now than ever in a virtual world. So today we're going to be talking a whole lot about content, and not just content, and how, what is the difference between content and copy, right? And how to be creative. So we actually are going to have someone here that's going to kind of break all that down for us. And you're going to want to make sure that you have a pen and paper handy. So let me tell you a little bit about her. So Sarah Schwab is the founder and president of Content Creation Coach, and the author of the Amazon number one best-selling book, Content That Dances. She is known for her expertise in helping small businesses and entrepreneurs create a strategy and develop consistent, compelling content that builds connections and engagement, leading to growth and establishing yourself as a go-to resource in your industry. Sarah brings a unique approach to content strategy as she works with her clients one-on-one to develop website content, implement consistent email marketing, and build lead generation tools. She has created hundreds of blog articles, produced videos, teleseminars, webinars, ebooks, and more. And aside from entrepreneurship and content creation, her personal creative passion is in dance, and you'll often find her in her local studio and at ballroom dance competitions. She encourages everyone to step out onto the dance floor, whatever that looks like for you. So you can find out more about her approach to online marketing and content creation, including free resources at contentcreationcoach.com. However, now you're going to get to hear all about it live right now. So Sarah, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Hey, Patty, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I really am. Too, I've been kind of thinking about it as I was getting ready for today, really thinking about it and what did I really want us to dive into, because you just have so much expertise and you share so generously your zone of genius, but I can't keep you on here for hours. So I'm really going to try to fine tune it. But just so everyone knows, Sarah is going to be our 2021 columnist in the magazine. So you're going to get to continue to learn from her ongoingly for the next year. So make sure that you plug into her. So let's get started. So let's talk about the power of content, right? You know, and I think it is really powerful. And as I said in my introduction, this has been the bane of my existence. I find copy is so hard for me. Creating content visually, super, super easy for me. It's almost like a rabbit hole for me. I love doing it so much. But then taking that and how does that translate? And I think that for people who are listening, that are speakers, you know, or, you know, we're used to traveling and being in front of people, now more than ever, words matter, right? Because you don't have the connection you get to somebody one-on-one, like when I'm on a stage and I'm at an event and I get to spend two whole days with them getting to know them. Now my words matter and it really needs to translate. And I think that's where the creativity comes in. So I'm really glad that we are going to really kind of talk about that. Because I have to tell you, you know, that whole thing about, you know, content is king, right? You know, I kind of think the word content has been a little bit overused. It's a buzzword that I kind of think is done, kind of like pivot. Like when I hear that word as well, right? There's certain words now that just make you cringe when you hear them. That is actually one of them for me. So why don't you kind of tell me, like, why do you think it's overused? And do you think that maybe, I think that there are some myths about content, right? You know, so I always love to know
maybe misunderstandings.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. And I want to start too, because you mentioned my own generosity, the columnist thing, you're speaking in front of people, all of these things that I do, that you do, all of that is actually part of content marketing. And I believe part of the power of it is in the generosity of it, right? It's because you're giving value. The goal is to give first. And that's what really attracts people to you. That's what builds those relationships. That's what sets you up as the expert. So it isn't about, you know, sell, take, push, you know, try to make things happen in a forceful kind of a way. It's really about giving value first. And I love that about content marketing. And so when you look around at all the things people are calling content, like you said, that word is everywhere. You know, I need content for my marketing, or that visual content you were talking about, or content for my social media, or this or that. And I really think that not all of that is true content the way that I think about it. A lot of it is copy. And there's no problem with copy. We need copy. Copy is important. It informs people about things, right? It describes things. It even sells things. It creates, you know, that emotional desire, but it doesn't really build trust or relationships or, you know, longevity. When you're talking about loyalty and getting people to stick with you and really like you and follow you, you have got to be providing that value, which is content. So like I said, I like to make a distinction between content and copy and really have people look at their own materials, at their website, at, you know, maybe their emails, whatever marketing, whatever words that you are putting out there. Is it copy? Or is it actually content? And if you're flipped, you know, what I say a lot of times, businesses are upside down. They've got more copy than content. And really, it should be the other way around. Content is your opportunity to build that trust, to make those touches so that when you do have an opportunity, a piece of copy, a sale, whatever it might be, an ask, then people are warmed up and ready for it.
You know, I love that so much because I always like to say I'm hard on myself. It's like, oh, Patty, you are just not good at copy. I mean, even in my contracts with my clients, right? I'm in marketing and media and I tell them I'm not a copywriter, you know, and it does not include me to do any copywriting for you. But based on what you just said, I'm really good at content. But based on what you just said about copy, that's where I struggle because I am so used to just talking to people and connecting with people and feeding off of what they need, because I come from, you know, lead with contribution, compensation will follow, but it's always about serve, not sell, right? I feel like if you, I know sometimes, and you probably hear this too, where people are like, oh, I don't want to share stuff because, you know, somebody may steal it, or they say, oh, I don't want to do it because I don't want to give my best stuff. They should be paying me. All of those kind of things that I hear people say. I always want to say, first of all, even if you gave every single thing you do away, that doesn't mean they're going to know how to do it. You know, so I mean, that's kind of silly. You're not trying to reinvent ice cream. You're just creating your own flavor. So I think that it is really important for people to realize that. What I love about what you're saying and doing about that creativity part in creating content is this is where your personality gets to come in. And this is where people, it's kind of like on your website where, oh yeah, on your homepage, this is where you say all the thing, you know, the problems you solve and what you do. And if you do it right, when you go to the about page, this is where people say, okay, yes, I've established that I need that, but are you the person that I should hire for it? And when they learn about you, your personality, are we a good fit? You know, like, you know, do you get my jive, right? You know, are you that? It kind of says that this is what creative content can do for you because it lets people know that. Because the reality is you can go to Google. I mean, Google's in the information business. We're not in the information business. We're in the transformation business, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that the way you just said that makes so much sense. And I really hope that everybody out there has kind of got this sigh of relief because they're going, oh, that's really great, you know?
Right. It's actually fun. It should be fun, like you're saying. And you are great at content, by the way, Patty. I mean, this podcast is content. When you do your speaking, it's content. You're always putting that kind of stuff out there. And we'll talk in a moment because sometimes it feels like a lot. People wonder, do I have to start a podcast? Do I write a blog? How does it fit in with this? What about, you know, all these different options? And so we'll definitely talk about that. But back to this personal connection, that creative element of it. That's because when you're building a relationship, it's all about both sides of the relationship. So you think about who you're talking to. And I know you talk about this all the time too, right? Who is your audience? Who is your target market? What do you know about them? What are they thinking about? That's a super important element of content and any kind of marketing communications. But then the other side of that equation is you. You, your business, you, your personal brand, you, your approach and your expertise. And to your point, if you do it right and you really share that part of it, your magic, your special juice, then when people have read or listened to, you know, taken in some of your content, they know already that whether you're a good fit for them or not, right? So this power of content, when I know it's really working, is when someone comes to me, maybe schedules an appointment or whatever and says, you know, I've been following you or I downloaded your thing. I got some of your stuff and I really like what you're doing. And I think, you know, I think this would be really great. And I'm like, wonderful. I have no idea who this person is, but they've already built a relationship with me through my content.
I think that is so important too, though, because I would have to say that the greatest compliment I have ever had, and I hear it a lot, is when people say, you know what, Patty, when I meet you, you're exactly who you are on social media. When I hear you speak, when I read your stuff, when I read your magazine and I picture who you are, then when I meet you and talk to you, it's like you're that same person. And I think that is really important. And that made me feel really, really good because I remember when I decided to become a speaker, I thought I was going to have to be this eloquent, you know, wear a soap opera dress, like I like to call it, you know, make 3 points and take a pregnant pause and all this. And I thought, oh, eloquent is just not a word I would use to describe me, you know, driven, bold, you know, rebel, you know, those are kind of words. And so in my mind, I was like, oh, I just don't think I could be that. And it took hiring someone to help me realize that it isn't about changing you to be in front of who you think. It's really about speaking and talking to the people who need to hear it and want to hear it the way you do. And that if you stay true to yourself, the right people will find you and they'll know, they'll build a rapport that they can know, like, and trust because they don't feel like, oh, well, if I hire her, is this who I'm going to get or is it going to be somebody else? So I think that really staying true to yourself and just knowing that part of that is just being in front of the right audience. And as you said a second ago about target market, I think really honestly, people have an idea about target market. Now, for me being in marketing and media, and I know you have a background in that too, the reality really is if you do it right, you can move from target market to target buyers, which is even more important. And you know, that's what I tell my clients. Yes, we're going to start with target market, but we really want to know who is your target buyer, right? And being able to use content that will captivate them, right? And build a relationship with them. So I think that is really important. And it's kind of exciting when you really think about being creative. I mean, I like it. I also noticed that you said that there's 3 types of content. And can you tell us what the 3 types of content are and how you can use each one of them to grow your business?
Absolutely. So, and people might be thinking, well, there's way more than 3, right? I mean, think of podcasting and blog writing and ebooks and webinars and teleseminars, all that stuff that we mentioned in my bio, right? But when you really break it down into a strategy, what I'm talking about are sort of 3 different buckets. The first one is what I call catalyst content. And catalyst content, you only have to create 1 time, which is awesome. Yes, Patty gives me a thumbs up. And it serves as a way to capture leads, right? So this might be something people have to opt in for, something they can download. Maybe they're going to show up to it like a virtual event or webinar. And quite honestly, I even think a lot of times speaking in person when we can do that, even that serves as catalyst content because you often have an opportunity to capture leads that are in the room with you and you're delivering value. So catalyst content is a blast because I have a list of over 20 different formats that it can take. But the purpose of it, like I said, is to capture those leads. So you have the opportunity to communicate with those folks later. So before I talk about the second type of content, I like to paint this picture, if I may, Patty, of the content strategy that looks like a water park. So when you have that first piece of catalyst content, it's like that first ride that they take, that first, you know, sometimes those water park rides, they look like a giant toilet bowl almost, like you go around and around and around, you come out the bottom.
That's called the lazy river.
No, that's not the lazy river yet. We're not there yet.
Oh, okay.
That's the funnel, right? That's the ride, the slide. And in the funnel, the top of every funnel is a piece of catalyst content, especially when you're talking about in the online space. So what is that thing people are going to request, engage with, download from you? And now you've captured them. Maybe you send a few emails, you make an offer, you try to connect, and some of them will be ready to buy, which is awesome. But we all know that the reality is many of them, the majority even, might not be ready to buy right away immediately. But that doesn't mean that they're not prospective buyers. You know, depending on your sales cycle, most sales don't happen for 6 months, 9 months, sometimes over a year after that initial contact. So how do you keep people engaged? How do you stay in connection and keep building that relationship? And now you kind of gave away my answer here. But so when they come out the bottom of the ride, they go into the lazy river. And the lazy river is that second type of content that I call nurturing content. Now, with nurturing content, you have to create it consistently, right? You have to be doing that on a regular basis, whether that's every week or every couple of weeks. That's where we're talking about maybe blog articles for written content, could be videos, could be a podcast, right? Podcast episodes, something that you're putting out there on a consistent basis to nurture those folks in your lazy river, but also to build visibility, to, you know, build credibility out in the world and attention, drive some traffic, all that kind of good stuff. That's your lazy river. That's your nurturing content. Now, what happens is people get stuck in the lazy river. There's a lot of businesses who get frustrated and they're like, I'm writing these blog articles or I'm sending these emails and nothing's really happening. And that's because that's not what nurturing content is for. You need another funnel. You need another ride. You need a reason to get them out of the lazy river, right? Now I have a new webinar. Now I have a seasonal challenge. Now I have, you know, some other opportunity to for people to engage with. And now you're getting some of the folks out of your lazy river, getting some new folks into the water park through that new funnel and engaging with them. And that's where you're going to get some sales. And so you can see, if you can picture this in your mind, that as you build these rides in your water park and keep the lazy river going around, it's a very dynamic model for engaging your folks. Now, you mentioned that there are three types of content. And the third one is what I call money-making content. So that's one of the things that you can offer. Patty loves the money-making content. offer in your business. If all you're selling right now is, you know, one-on-one work or things that require your time, things like that, money-making content is an opportunity to leverage that, to create, for example, an online course or a training or can even be a small ebook. The gamut, you know, the scope of money-making content is huge, all the way from, you know, a small single downloadable ebook or webinar, all the way up to programs that take months and cost thousands of dollars, right? So that is your third type of content called money-making content. And when you get this model working solidly and figure out what each of those pieces is for you, so you're really clear about what is my catalyst content? What is my nurturing content? What is my money-making content if I'm ready to go there? And then it answers so many questions about how should I be spending my time? Where should I be focusing on for my marketing?
I have to tell you, as I was listening to you, and you had shared that with me before, which I'm sorry I blew your lazy river thing because I was still picturing the round thing. But here's what I got this time when I was listening to you. What I got from that, because I'm super visual, is that if you were using all three correctly, that as people come in to the first one, and then some, like you said, will stay in the lazy river, and then some will move on right to the next thing, to the revenue ones. Here's what I feel like I'm picturing in my mind. I'm picturing that if you did it consistently, like you said, that ultimately, like when you go to the water park, like people are standing in line, like to get up to the slide, to go down that first piece of thing, because they're coming in there and then the lazy rivers could be kind of getting full, right? And so people can't go down because it's full and these people have to get out so that more people can come in. So if you could just generate that consistently utilizing all three of those, like you're going to keep your funnel full, new people coming in, creating engaging conversation and connections through all that, and then giving them what they need so that they can make a decision, right? An informed decision for them that they are ready to the next thing. And what I also heard you say is that while they're in that lazy river and they're going through that whole process before they choose to go to the next thing, this is one of my favorite things, you also have an opportunity through that engagement and connection to gather a lot of data, which also helps you to know what those next things are that you should create to get them out of the lazy river. I didn't think about that the first time you told me that story, but this time while I was listening, I was thinking, oh, what a pool in that lazy river of data, you know, where people could take, because, you know, a lot of times when people haven't said yes to you yet, you can get a lot of data going on there, which will help you to create all that creative stuff to help them move and get that line moving again.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you say that because people often think that they have to know what they're going to create before they create it, right? You have to know what that course is going to be, or you have to know what your, you know, your whole thing and be super clear on it before you can start creating content. And I actually believe that creating content is part of your business development process.
It's like the conversation.
Point, you know,
it's like the conversation. Exactly. It is. It's, I feel like you sell it first and then you create it. Because if you don't, if you create it first, now you're trying to fit them into what you want them to learn instead of actually having a conversation and listening to what they need and then creating it, which is going to be so much more effective.
So even as an example, that water park analogy strategy came because several years ago, I wrote a blog article about this water park idea. And it started off with just the funnel piece of it, and I think maybe the lazy river, and it resonated. And I thought, this is really cool. So then I expanded it and have continued to use it. But that came out of my content creation process because I was sitting down to think about what can I write? How can I describe this? How can I share what I know? And it's that in and of itself is such a powerful piece of your business.
And also, you know, I really like this whole, because I like visual things, right? So I really love this visual of the water park. And it kind of made me think of something else. So your book, right? So your book, you know, Content That Dances, which we're going to talk about that. But one of the things that I really liked in the book was your content dance partners. Now, which is kind of one of my favorite topics, right? You know, and really how I have built my business. So I think that sometimes when people are thinking, oh, they've been in the lazy river for way too long, right? You know, sometimes the data you should be getting there isn't that every person you're talking to or creating content for is going to be your ideal client. They might not be your right fit client, but they may be someone who serves your right fit content, which makes them a great dance partner. So I love that you talked about that in your book. So kind of tell us a little bit about the book. I love this idea, and we'll make sure we have the link for that in the show notes too. But tell us a little bit about the book, and then can you expand? I love that, you know, you're from dance, and, you know, as I was telling you before we got on, that I actually, you know, have won awards for dancing as well. So I didn't know that until we got on here. But let's talk about that dance partner, which I love it. I just love that name.
I love that too. I love that we have that dance connection. I really think everybody has, you know, that inner creative expression, whatever it looks like for them. But for me, dance is that for me. And so I wove it into my book. That's why it's called Content That Dances. And as you said in my intro, you know, I think of the dance floor, you know, the metaphor of stepping out onto the dance floor, right? Being willing to try to do some moves or try to share some something or dance with other people. That there's a lot of similarities to that and sharing content, right? That willingness to write something, even though you don't maybe feel like you're an awesome writer, or to step in front of that video camera for the first time, which we all know is a little bit unnerving, but there is only, the only way you get better at these things is by starting and doing it and doing it consistently and getting better at it. So that's something I love about the work that I do. And to your question about dance partners, there's a few different ways to answer that. The chapter, one of the chapters you're talking about, which is actually available on my website, is called Contents Dance Partners. And we talk about your website, which is really the hub of your content strategy, right? That's where your nurturing content and your catalyst content often live. But then there's also social media. And I talk about email marketing. And I would argue there's probably many dance partners. Here's the thing. When you create content, unfortunately, I love the creating of the content part. That's where my sweet spot is. But you can't just create the content and expect people to just find it. It's not a, if you build it, they will come sort of a situation. So all of the other parts of marketing, any tools that you use to get your content in front of people, to drive folks into those funnels, into those rides, into that water park, those are the tools that are the dance partners that you need to make that work.
No, I really love that, because I got a whole visual on that too. I am really visual. And this whole dance thing, and once we actually had this whole dance connection, and I really love it too, because they can't really see you, but that dance quote is literally my favorite quote of all, right? You know, that whole dancing in the rain thing, right? I just love that. And so for me, because my dance is more line dancing and stuff like that, here's what I was thinking about when you said that. This was the visual that I got. So I don't know if people are listening to us. I hope they get these visuals, right? But for me, I was thinking about like your version of the dance partners, obviously from a content point of view, are your website and social media and all those other things that you can do. And for me, in my world, my dance partners are people, right? You know, who do things and either serve my right fit people or compliment me. Like, who are the people that, you know, I call them my, you know, upstream, like that they would go to them first before they would come to me, right? You know, my downstream is like somebody like you. You are in my downstream. It's like, what, when somebody hires me, what do they need? Oh, they, you know, website, you know, whatever. And stuff. But what that made me think about from the dancing point of view was that when I see people on the dance floor, you know, especially if, say, we're doing a line dance, the moves are the same, right? We've all been taught this is how we do the moves, right? So you notice people because we're all on the dance floor together doing the moves. But just like everything else, some people do moves a little bit better than others, right? You know, and so, you know, somebody could just follow along to the left, you know, to the right, to the right. Okay, yeah, they could just do that. Or they could put some of their personality into the moves. And that's how you kind of know what, like what you see. Oh, you know, I love that. And you kind of get this whole connectiveness there of liking their vibe and the way they do it, which always tells people that they're a great partner for me, right? Starts that conversation and that connectiveness that you have. I have to tell you, I'm thinking about content and creativity like a whole new way. So I have to tell you, I know my audience is getting a lot out of this. This has been so good just for me in the way that visually I think about it, right? Yes. And I love this so incredibly much. Like, I can't even tell you.
So glad. Well, and let me chime in on that, because there is that other type of dance partner like you're describing. And it's a whole different separate chapter where I talk about collaborations And, you know, I used to call them joint venture partnerships, whatever, these opportunities where you have a partner who works with your same audience, maybe does different things than you. And how do you partner up? How do you collaborate? How do you get in front of each other's people? And the answer is content, right? Maybe I'm going to be interviewed on their podcast. Maybe we're going to do a joint webinar. Maybe we're going to, you know, do something where we're going to share value. We're both going to share what we know so that it's of value to our respective audiences. And all of a sudden your audience, like that is such a great way to get more people into your water park. But content is the foundation of it. Because if you just try to sell yourself to somebody else's audience and they don't know you, that's going to be a dead end. So I do think that's powerful.
I love that you say that, because one of the things that I see people like, you know, I always like to say, what are the, you know, and I'm going to ask you that question in a second, the mistakes that we see people make over and over again, right? What are the most common things? And one of the things that I see people do is that they will think that somebody who does what they do, like they consider them competition, right? I am very abundance mindset, and I actually work more with people who overlap with what I do. They're the best partners for me. They get it. We serve in a different way. I mean, marketing is a huge umbrella, right? You know, and stuff though. But I love that. And I invite those people on my podcast and to write with me. I mean, that is like a great person for me, right? But here's the thing. I feel like it's not competition. It's integrity. Either you have integrity or you don't have integrity, right? So I feel like that is where it is. But one of the things that I think is really interesting, and here is a mistake that I see people make, and then we're going to pull this back around to what you were saying, is, for example, I see it in Facebook groups all the time, where what'll happen is people go into Facebook groups and they're waiting for people to say something, and they spend all this time trolling, I like to say, for somebody to ask a question that somehow they can try to sell in that thread, right? And I always want to say there's two things to remember. One, who's the host of that Facebook group? Is that person a good partner for you? Because why want to spend all your time doing all that where one of two things is going to happen? One, either the people in that group have a relationship with that person and it's not going to work anyway, because they're going to think, wow, why are you in her group doing all this when that's what she does? So they're actually going to be kind of defensive about that person that they care about. Or two, you're wasting your time, because the bigger project would have been to go to the person and say, you know what? I love that you have this whole group. They're really my people. I have a community too. What could we do together that would literally put you in front of them? And if they come out and socially endorse you, so to speak, and put you in front of the group, whether it's in a Facebook Live or whatever, now those people that you were just trolling for that kind of didn't think you were doing it the right way are going to say, oh, well, if she thinks it's okay that, you know, well, then I guess it's okay for me to reach out to her. So like, why beat your head against the wall? And content will do that, right? And that is all in the dance partners. And it's really like a mindset shift. So kind of what you think about that. And do you agree?
Oh my gosh, 100%. Yeah, that's why I brought up the fact that, you know, this, to view it collaboratively as opportunity, it's always an opportunity. And that scarcity mindset thing just doesn't do anybody any good. But if you can find ways, like I said, with content, it's about giving first. And if you approach these relationships with generosity and giving and what can I share, you're going to find that you create positive growth in all directions.
I love it. So what would you say, what advice would you give to someone who's probably not been real good about consistently doing content? Maybe they don't even have a blog on their website, saying things like, I don't love social media. I don't know what to post. You know, all those things we hear over and over and over again, right? What would you say to someone if they were going to say, you know what? You've really inspired me, Sarah, because I'm sure there's many of them out there that that's what they're thinking. They're shaking their head now going, yes, that's me. What would you say? What is some, you know, advice that you would give them if like, okay, it doesn't matter what you've already done. Let's talk about what you're going to do now. So obviously the first thing they should do is go to your website, get those free resources, and maybe even book a call with you. I noticed you had that on your website, but what kind of advice would you give them? Because a lot of times people don't know where to start. Like, where Yes. should they start?
And it is, you know, it's funny. It is a little bit of a chicken and an egg problem when I think about nurturing content and catalyst content. Do you have an opt-in piece? Do you have a way for people to get into your water park? And so is that the first thing that you're going to create? Because it feels silly to start nurturing content if you don't have a list. You can't start an email newsletter if you don't have people to email, right? And so do you build a funnel that doesn't go into a lazy river, or do you build a lazy river with no entry? Like, it's tricky. So I often work with people to figure out how do we initially get that momentum going. But here's the thing, Patty, what I run into more commonly is not people who are starting from zero, but people who actually have a list. They did something at some point, right? They have maybe an email marketing platform with a few hundred people sitting in it who just haven't heard from them in a really long time. And so if that's your case, that is, in my opinion, money left on the table. That is opportunity. That is low-hanging fruit. And the issue is, if they've been neglected, it's time to really revisit, what were you sending? What should you be sending to reignite that relationship with people? And if what you do after them not having heard from you for 3 months or 6 months or however long is to try to sell something, like, hey, it's almost 2021, buy my thing, and they haven't heard from you for 6 months, that's, again, not going to go very well. So think about what you can share. So that's when I create a nurturing content strategy for somebody. What's your frequency, right? How frequently do you think you can do it? Is weekly realistic for you? Is it every 2 weeks? What can you do? And what is the format? Frequency and format. So are you going to write blog articles? Are you going to step in front of a video camera, share those videos? What are you going to share? And start doing that consistently. I really think that is your foundation. Do that consistently for like at least 2 or 3 months. And then you have earned the right to make an offer to, you know, have your next big thing, to do your next big ride, to launch something or whatever that might look like. But it's that showing up consistently and building that relationship, earning that right. That's where you're going to find both the gold in your list, in your clients. You're going to attract more people. You're going to have stuff to share on social media. You won't be wondering about what to share there. So committing to consistency is the number one recommendation.
That brought up two things for me. One is, say somebody hasn't been like that exact example you've given. I get people who say this to me, so I get asked this question. So Patty, I have a list of, you know, could be 200, could be 500. I've had people have a list for, you know, 2000, and they just haven't had a good stick strategy. That's what I like to call it. Why should people stick around? So having that nurturing thing. So if that is them, right? Do you think, yes or no, because I see this in my inbox sometimes where people will write to me and they'll like, oh, I just want to apologize. I'm so sorry that you haven't heard from me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they do this whole embarrassing for them. I'm so sorry that blah, blah, blah. Do you think that they need to acknowledge it and then say, but moving forward, this is what? Or do you think they should just start doing the great content and don't worry about the fact that they haven't heard from them for 6 months? If you give good enough content, they'll just be excited to get it. You don't need to apologize.
100% the latter. You know, I always say, no matter what, each piece of content must stand on its own. And so this relates to what you're saying, but it also relates, sometimes people are like, you know, in my last blog article, I talked about blah, 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 and now I'm going to carry that forward. Here's the thing. People do not, your content is not their main focus, right? If you sent a blog article 2 weeks ago, they probably don't remember all the details of it. Maybe they read it, maybe they didn't. There's going to be a whole bunch of people for whom this new article is the first thing they've seen for, you know, from you ever. So I don't like for people to reflect backwards to other things and assume that people, you know things or remember things or any of that. Start where you are. Give from where you are. Just give and acknowledge. You know, it's funny because I, you know, as much as I'll have a little confession time here, Patty.
Okay.
I'm the content creation coach. I was super consistent when I started building up my business and building up my content weekly for the first 2 years about of my business, which created tremendous momentum and library of content and SEO and all that great stuff. And then I decided that was a little much. And so I lowered my frequency down. And there have been times where, you know, I took essentially the whole summer off. I have kids and I just decided I'm not going to post anything. And 3 months would go by and people didn't care. They didn't notice. And I'm not recommending. So I feel like I'm being inconsistent because I just said consistency is important and it is, but it's also, you know, if you miss a week or two or a month, don't freak out. Just get back on the bandwagon and keep on going forward and people will come along with you.
I love that. Do you have a formula that you think, like, for example, one of the things that's a super pet peeve for me is when somebody has really juicy content and I opt in and then the very next thing I get from them is them trying to sell me something, right? I mean, it's like the easiest unsubscribe like ever, right? You know, and so that's a big thing. The other pet peeve that I have is when they don't connect with me and nurture me, but they're an affiliate for somebody else and I get like 500 things of the same thing in my inbox because they do that. That like annoys me too. Like those are my biggest pet peeves. I'm sure there are many others, but those are mine. So would you say that when somebody does come in from a nurturing, right? What do you have a number? Like, should they, like, I know what number I have for me, but you know, what would you say is once somebody opts in, then they like something that you're doing. Do you have like a frequency of like, you know, 80-20 or like, you know, you should give them 3 value add without ever trying to sell? Like, what is your kind of philosophy on that?
That's a challenging one. In general, especially for your static opt-in, that's maybe on your website, right? It's your downloadable, whatever. That to me should be pretty much all give, with maybe an opportunity to connect with you if they want to talk more about it, if it's really resonating with them, that kind of stuff. When I talk about, so what you're describing with your pet peeves is that content to copy mismatch, right? You gave them a little bit of content or at least enticed them with some content. And then it's like copy, copy, push, sell, right? And that annoys everybody, I think. I don't know, our inboxes are loaded. And so to me, I say minimum 5-1 is my content to copy ratio, 5 pieces of content to 1 piece of copy, but it's an art, not a science, right? Some people will say it takes 12 touch points, right? Before they're going to make that sale. What do those touch points look like? That's a question that's out there. There is a challenge, and what you may have experienced is sometimes the funnel that you choose to go in through is somebody's launch. I mean, if I created a webinar in order to sell my, let's say, mastermind group program or something like that, then you're going to come to the webinar and I want to make sure you get value from the webinar, but the whole thing is about selling my mastermind program. So that does happen. What the people for whom that works okay for are the ones who have been in your lazy river for a while. If they've been hearing from you and you've been delivering content for, you know, months and consistently and all that stuff, and then they end up in your sales funnel, your launch funnel, then they're okay. They're cool with it. They understand where they're at. If somebody comes in cold to a funnel like that, that's challenging. And it's just part of what you have to do. So you have to look at your overall big picture of all your marketing, what's in your water park, what are you selling, and how much content to copy. You know, what is your content to copy ratio? I don't know. Did that answer your question?
No, it really did. And I liked it. It actually tells me that we should have part two and have you on again, because what you just said to me is something that I really, really care about, which is segmenting. And I think that is really important how you segment that, because just because they came in through this doesn't mean they want to hear about everything. So we could actually have a whole nother one, and maybe we will. But I feel like you've given us so much information. And really, honestly, you've been very, very generous as usual, because you always are. And I feel like they should be able to listen to this and be able to implement right away, like take an action step, which is what I really, really love. And because my number one thing for this podcast is what's working now, not 5 years ago, right? You know, what is working now? And I think this was so timely and relevant, and I really appreciate that. So, Sarah, how can people connect with you? Because I know they want to.
I would love it. Go there now. My website is contentcreationcoach.com. And as Patty said, I have tons of resources, blog articles. The book chapter is there. But we also have a special offer for you here today on the podcast as well, right?
Yay.
And so I am offering you, it's called my 40 topic starters. And so whether you have content topic ideas coming out your ears or not, a lot of people don't know what they should be talking about or how what they should be sharing. So I created an ebook download called 40 Topic Starters, and it's split into those two sides that we talked about a little while ago, right? 20 that are directed toward who is your audience? What do you know about them? What are they wondering about? How can you, you know, get into their world? What can you share that they're going to really love? And half of them are more thinking about who are you? What's your business about? What are your values? What do you care about? What's going on that you can share? What's your expertise? So there's some really good, juicy questions to get your creative juices flowing. So I hope you'll download it. I believe we're going to share that link through the podcast, Patty.
We absolutely are. They should be able to just look below and it'll be right there by the time they hear this. So thank you so much for being so generous. And again, she does also have something on the website where if you just thought this was just so great, you want to have a conversation, she does have a way to book a free consultation there as well. And if this is stirring things up for you and maybe you haven't been doing it consistently and you want some ideas, I would say definitely you're going to want to book a consultation with her on that. So I think that would be really great. So this is the time in the show where I like to call it the open mic, my version of social karaoke, where I kind of hand the mic over to my guest. And this is the Marketing Media Money Show. And really, you've been so generous, I almost feel guilty asking you. But what is your number one marketing media money strategy?
Well, not to be repetitive, but I guess what I would say is I see too many businesses with just that one funnel, that one pipeline, right? That one way to engage. And I think that my number one strategy is to have multiple entry points to your business, which is really the water park that we talked about, to have multiple rides, to have multiple funnels and multiple ways for people to engage with you.
I love that. Thank you so much for being here with me today, Sarah. I appreciate it so much. I think this is like a keep or something that they should be listening to over and over again while they're taking notes, and then go get your gift and then book that consultation and make sure that you, to our sister publication, our Marketing Media Money Magazine, they're going to get to have ongoing content with you there as well. And so I think this is like really important. So thank you so much for being so generous. I really enjoyed this dance with you, so to speak. This has been really wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes. Fantastic, Patty. Great way to kick off the year and the collaboration. And I can't wait to share more through the magazine. Thanks everybody for being here with us.
Thank you. And thank you to the audience for joining us on the Marketing Media Money Podcast. And if you enjoyed today's episode, and I'm sure you did, please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. We've talked a lot about the magazine. Make sure you go grab your copy. Right now, you can get a free lifetime subscription at www.marketingmediamoney.com. No and, just marketingmediamoney.com. You can dive right in and grab that. So you'll be all prepared for when Sarah, you know, joins us very, very soon. So thank you so much, everybody. Remember, have a phenomenal day. And if your day is not phenomenal, you have the power to change it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money Magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.